Yeah, difficult to know exactly how, because how do we know what the agricultural labourers were thinking? They can't write. They did not leave any films or radio programs. Funny that. However, one of the elements that Hobsbawm points out is that all of the novels and letters and diaries written by richer people, when they talk about poor people in the 18th century, if you look in general at the people who write about the village in the 18th century, they don't say, oh, the poor hate the rich. They don't in general say that. If you look at people who write in the 19th century, very, very frequently you say, you know, the poor really hate the rich. Yeah. So it's an interesting thing that we don't know what they were thinking because they don't write it down. But among the different observers, you see that more and more the idea that poor people are angry and bitter becomes very common in diaries and letters and novels in the 19th century, where it was not common in the 18th century. So we can assume that that's all we have to go on. Yeah, we can assume that the situation is getting harder. What is happening also is that the old laws, which gave some protection to the poor, are gradually disappearing. Yeah, you've got the new system. The town is the center of society now. The factory is the center of society. And old traditional laws, which, for example, guaranteed that poor people were allowed to hunt rabbits for free every spring, this sort of thing. I'm inventing that one, but there are many, many very small laws which actually helped poor people to survive, and they are being swept away by Parliament. So what's the situation? The situation is that people get a couple of days' work. They have to go to the fair, and the farmers come around and say, you have 2 days' work. You have 2 days' work. And, very, very humiliating. Yeah, very, very humiliating situation. These hiring fairs going on. Also, very humiliating, if you need to ask for help because you're too poor, very often you had to do very humiliating things to get it. For example, in some villages, the poor people were obliged to do the work of the horses and pull the carts. Not because they needed people to pull the carts, but because they wanted, if you get money for being poor, they wanted you to be very humiliated, so you wouldn't want to do it again. 1829 then. 1829, bad harvest. And also 1829, a new king. William the Fourth became king, as you knew, didn't you? Well, no, neither did I. A new king came along. This is an interesting point, because remember, this is still a society very much governed by superstition and rumour. People can't read. The information they get, c'est un peu le téléphone arabe, quelqu'un du village dit à quelqu'un du village suivant qu'il y a quelqu'un. Quand les infos arrivent, faut pas trop se fier. And many, many people believed that the new king was very interested in poor people and would help them a lot. There was no real reason to believe this, except that, you know, when you're desperate, you want to believe it, yeah? You want to believe it. Well, you saw how people in England believed that Princess Diana was on the side of the oppressed, you know, which is, from a historical point of view, ludicrous. I mean, absolutely, absolutely laughable. It's not her aim, you know. I'm have nothing against her, but it was just not her aim at all. You know, that's not what you're there for. So many people believed that the new king wanted threshing machines to be destroyed. Threshing machines to be called for. Je crois que c'est seulement des batteuses, hein? C'est pas des moissonneuses batteuses encore, je crois. Parce que ça moissonne pas, ça batte. Je crois. Yeah, donc des batteuses. The machines in the Captain Swing riots, the machines are not the power looms or the stocking frames, they are the batteuses. Yeah, so agricultural machines to thresh the. Do you do a lot of threshing? You do. Does anybody have peasant parents and know how to thresh? No, me neither. Okay, so the threshing machines that many of the poor people believed, when there is a new king, he will stop the farmers from using the threshing machines, because threshing is how we get through the winter. Every winter there's a lot of work threshing, and it's the only work that there is. So it's very important to us, agricultural labourers. But don't worry, when there's a new king, the new king will stop these new machines. Now, of course, it's completely ridiculous as an idea, but that shows a lot about the psychology of poor people, yeah? The first thing people do is look for a hero to save them. It's normal, yeah? You can't imagine. And, of course, the religious as well, yeah? Religious think, you know, let's pray for things to get better. So these machines, the threshing machines, were driven by wind or water power or by horses, and that is the situation at the beginning of the Captain Swing riots. At the same time, internationally, the situation is tense. In 1830, revolution in Paris. Charles X of France is forced to abdicate and comes to England, in fact. This does not make a lot of difference to the agricultural labourers, but it contributes to the atmosphere of conflict. Interesting thing here is that during the riots, William Cobbett will be arrested and he will be accused of having organised the riots. He's a radical intellectual. He did not organise the riots, and in general, the poor labourers had this dream that the king was going to solve their problems, and the government had this dream that the riots were because people came in from outside and organised the riots. And this is a fairly common dream of elites. In reality, it is extremely difficult, probably impossible, to arrive in a village and say, "Would you like to have a riot?" Yeah, I mean, you can try if you like. If you're from the, it doesn't normally work. You know, it's can be quite dangerous. But that was the idea. So this guy was arrested for organising the riots, but of course he didn't. He was, I told you who he was. He was the most important radical. He published the Political Register, and he wrote an article supporting the riots. But he was acquitted. So let's go to the actual story of the riots. What happened? In June, it began in Kent with the burning of houses. Then it moved on into Surrey and Sussex. So somebody Conte, it's a very village, city, Conte. Yeah, sure. The riots began in Kent. Pas tellement grave le titre de chaque comté, mais ça passait de comté en comté. Donc c'est pas des villages, c'est des comtés entiers. Kent began with burning houses, burning ricks, whatever they are, burning barns, and then moved up Surrey, Sussex. And the first threshing machine was destroyed in August in Dorset, another county, yeah? And the threshing machine became the centre of the campaign. And the reason being that threshing the corn, donc battre le blé à la main, threshing the corn by hand, was the main occupation in the winter. It was important. It was the only way you could make money in the winter, threshing by hand. So the threshing machines were the target. In general, this continued until it was the biggest series of riots, much bigger than Luddism. Captain Swing was bigger than Luddism. It was agricultural. It's very, very surprising because it was in the villages. Much more difficult to communicate from village to village. In the town, it's much easier. Remember, in Accrington, they have 20,000 people. You're talking about villages with 200 people in them. And so very slowly it moves from village to village, and after 3 months you have half the country involved. The general pattern is, first of all, fires. Yeah, first of all, burn something down. Secondly, machine breaking. Thirdly, meetings demanding an increase in wages. And fourthly, agitation against rents and tithes. Yeah, donc d'abord les incendiaires, puis le bruit de machines, des réunions pour réclamer des augmentations de salaire, et enfin des manifestations et des émeutes contre des loyers élevés et contre la dîme, contre le niveau de la dîme. Very, very important. None of the rioters said we shouldn't pay tithes. This is a religious demand, yeah? It's a religious society. You pay 10% to the church. And so the rioters say, we don't have enough money, we want to pay 5%. But no, there was nobody saying, you shouldn't pay to the church. Yeah? There's no atheists around, it doesn't exist at this time, and that's 100 years later. So, by October, over 100 machines had been destroyed, usually by gangs of 20 or 50 people. So it's much smaller than the Accrington riots, it's much smaller. And we saw the first swing letters. We will be looking at the swing letters tomorrow. People began to write letters saying, destroy your own machine or we will burn your house. Okay. Signed on behalf of the whole, or Norbert Hus, Captain Swing. Yeah. Again, this kind of humor. It's a joke as well, you're Captain Swing. Swing, of course, is swing, is the name comes from what will happen if you are discovered. You will swing on a rope, you will be hung. So it's kind of black humor. Yeah, Captain Swing. And this became the tradition, the swing letters, and we have you have some of them there. They also attacked the organizers of the poor law. The people in different villages who organized help for the poor were particularly detested, partly because they could make you do the work of horses and things like this, yeah. Or it was very difficult to get money from them. And they were often carted out of town, on les mettait dans une brouette, on les sortait du village, on les jetait dans la fleuve, etc. Humiliation. So it was the humiliation of the poor law organizers because they were known for humiliating the poor. So sort of revenge thingy. You saw tricolor flags in some villages, yeah, like the French flag, which was the symbol of revolution, of course, at the time. The level of confidence of the riots is rising. At the beginning, only at night, later on, in the daytime, yeah, no problem. Sometimes they would just arrive at people's houses and ask for food. They ask very politely, but there are 50 of them, and they have big hammers. Yeah, and they found food this way. Yeah, very often they would go to see the priest, the vicar, yeah, the Church of England, the vicar, and they'd say, "Well, the tithes, you know, you don't need so much money, do you? I have 50 friends outside with a hammer, yeah? And they like burning houses. No, I don't need so much money at all." Yeah, so they persuaded. Again, collective bargaining rights. They persuaded the vicar. For example, in Selborne, the vicar agreed to reduce the tithe by half. He signed an agreement to reduce the tithe by half. And the rebels said, "We think £300 a year is quite enough for you." This is a lot of money at the time. Again, of course, the rioters considered that the presence of a vicar in the village was absolutely necessary. That they are not complaining that they have to pay the vicar. They are complaining that they cannot pay so much. This is why it is absolutely not a revolutionary movement. Absolutely not a revolutionary movement. It is an economically based movement. In some of the towns like Selborne and Headley, the workhouses were demolished. Yeah, la maison des pauvres, démolie. Yeah, okay. So very, very big, very wide spread, and it moved faster and faster. Hampshire, West Sussex, Wiltshire. Hundreds of arrests in every country. On the 23rd of November, 25 villages explode. In Salisbury, all the threshing machines are destroyed. In Tisbury, the army kill the yeomanry. The army kill one of the rioters. And it will sort of continue. It will continue around November. More machine breaking. So in total, we're talking about 6 months. 6 months of riots. Okay, repression. The government worked very hard for the repression. They appointed a special commission of three judges. The government felt that the local magistrates were too generous, were not hard enough. So they sent a team of judges round from country to country, a mobile tribunal, to judge them, and the result was 300 in prison in Hampshire. These are counties, yeah. 300 in Wiltshire, 160 in Berkshire, 160 in Buckinghamshire, 100 in Kent. And you just need to see that. You just need to retain that there were hundreds. Yeah, that's enough. And And of course, during this time, that the popular movement continued writing its documents and songs. Famous song: "We labor hard from morn till night, until our bones do ache. Then everyone we must obey, their mouldy beds to make. We often wish when we lay down, we ne'er may rise no more, to meet our savage governors upon Van Diemen's shore." Okay, so that's it. Van Diemen's is the name of the main prison colony at the time. Okay, so almost finished here now. I can see you're tired. Almost finished now. The letters are the most notable thing about the movement, which we'll be looking at tomorrow. Very surprising in a way. Some of them are written by educated people pretending to be illiterate, and some are written by illiterate people. What is the most important thing about this movement? Well, probably the first thing is the widely extended movement. Hobsbawm and Rude tried to count the riots, and they got to 1,475. Yeah, 1,475. So really, that's like over more than 1,000 villages. Yeah, very often there's only 20 people, but it's absolutely incredibly widespread as a movement. Repression, in total you have 19 executed and 505 transported to Australia. So, I mean, probably half of them will survive. And rather complex configurations of solidarity. In some regions, for example, you would find that the small farmers would support the movement, but they would say, don't break the machines, concentrate on reducing the rents from the big farmers. Don't break the machines, concentrate on reducing the tithes from the vicar. Yeah, so the different sections of society who are much more divided than today. Yeah, you've got lots of, the class system is much more complicated than today. Yeah, well, you've got many people who earn a bit of a wage and also employ one person and also are small farmers. Yeah, it's very much more mixed than today. Yeah, it's quite rare today if you find somebody saying, yes, I receive a wage and then I receive some rent from what I own and then I employ one person. And this doesn't really exist today. Very, very mixed situation, and so you have different people trying to push them. They do not develop. I'm nearly finished. Yeah, they do not develop a new ideology. They do not develop a new idea of what kind of society in general we want. It is not an ideological movement. Now, when I say ideology, I'm not using it in the modern sense where people say ideology is bad. I just mean a general idea of what society should be like. That's an ideology. It can be good, bad, or indifferent. Yeah. In general, people who say they don't have an ideology just don't know which one they have, but they have one. So it does not have an idea for a new kind of society, this movement, at all. They simply say it's not fair. So do you want to finish the discussion and then I can continue, or do you have a question, or no? You're just organizing your weekend. Okay, fine. Okay, no new idea here. Their idea is our demands are just, so they must be legal. I'm sure the king is on our side. Now, that's the attitude, yeah? I'm sure the king must agree with us. So, nevertheless, respectable society is very worried by the movement, and this is the reason why Cobbett is arrested for seditious libel. And that's really it, really. The very last point to make about this is that it's very difficult to explain the local distribution of the riots. One of the questions which we do not find an answer to, it's all right, I'm going to repeat myself, it's very difficult to explain the local distribution of the riots. One of the questions we do not find an answer to is why this village explodes and this village, which has the same society and the same problems, does not explode. Does not explode. Yeah, this village has a lot of riots. This village has no riots. Why this one and not this one? And that is something we do not find an answer to. Yeah, and this is in general a difficult question when looking at social movements. Why, you know, suddenly you get an explosion like in Accrington in 1826. Life was extremely difficult in 1824 as well, but there was no explosion. What is the spark? That is a question which very often we do not find the answer. There seems to be a random element. An element de hasard. We don't know, and you know, even the experts don't know. Society is not a machine. People do not react automatically. Okay, that's the end of my story. Do you have any questions? Particularly on that.